Good morning. Please, find a pew. And now, does anybody interested in park runs and want to humour me this morning? No. No.
I'll humour you, Paul. I'd love to know about park.
Yeah, we'd love to know.
All right, I'm going to tell you because Alan would like to know.
My brother would like to know.
Oh, Alan's brother would like to do. And Kate, well, I am smashed my personal best.
That's why my brother wanted to know.
No, no, I didn't. 23 minutes, 46. Oh, I've got to mention Isaac as well. He smashed his PB as well. One more notice, or maybe two or three. Alan Walker, you all know Alan Walker is being ordained to this church. And that's going to be on the 6th of October at 3 o'clock at Emmanuel Church, Wild Green. It's open to all. You don't need tickets. So please join us to celebrate Alan's ordination. And please come along to the Digby pub afterwards to celebrate a bit more. So that's the 6th of October. If anybody needs a lift to Emmanuel Church, please let us know and we'll try and sort out a lift for you. We are having communion today in church, and we've got gluten-free wafers if you need them, and we've got red wine and white wine. Red wine has got no alcohol in it. And then we've got prayer after the service today as well. So if you want more prayer, please come over here after the service. And finally, next week we're going to have a guest speaker. It is next week, isn't it? So Paul Murray will be speaking about the return of Jesus Christ. Unless he comes back in the coming week. That's not very likely, is it?
Well, it's just as likely as not.
You think it is likely? You two need to have a chat before next Sunday. Okay. So I'm going to hand you over to Tony now, who's leading.
Yes, before...
Oh, to Alan.
Yes. First thing I'd like to say, I'm really excited to be staying here for my curacy, and I'd like to thank many people for the support I've had for the journey up to now. So please hold me in your prayers in the next couple of weeks as I come to that point. That'd be really appreciated. Thank you. Other notice, just... You may recall I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that I'd had a message from the children's home in India where Pete and I went. And in that area, they'd had very severe flooding, particularly in the village where Pete's father actually preaching, sorry, Raj's father, not Pete's father, Raj's father runs the church, and the church was flooded out as well as large parts of the area. So they are in desperate need of donations and funds so that they can, one, help themselves. I mean, one specific thing, they said they lost their audio system completely. But also, they are very much a church who concentrates on looking after the local villages and pastors who work in the area. So if you are able to donate, it would be greatly appreciated. And we'll pass those on through the church. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I add my welcome to you all this morning, and now let us pray as we offer this service to God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather in your presence and lift our voices in worship. We come before you with hearts overflowing with gratitude. O Lord, you are worthy of all praise and adoration. We exalt your name and declare your greatness. May our worship be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And our welcoming prayer, let's say together. Lord Jesus, by your grace we gather here to worship and glorify you. Give us wisdom, courage and love to welcome the new person into this place, so that they too can meet with you and know your redeeming love. Amen. And we have our first worship song. Please stand if you are able. Your love is amazing. Sit down as we pray for our young people. Heavenly Father, as the young people go to their groups, may they learn more of what it is to be a Christian, to follow Jesus. We thank you that you have good plans and purposes for their lives. Bless the leaders, lead them by your Spirit as they teach your word. May they help and guide each young person. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Off they go. Have a good time. Let's quieten our hearts as we come to a time of confession. Gracious God, we come before you with contrite hearts, acknowledging our need of your forgiveness. Forgive us for our sins and shortcomings. Forgive us where we have turned a deaf ear to pleas of help and turned a blind eye to injustice and those in need. Wash us clean with your grace and mercy. Create in us a pure heart, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now let us declare our faith in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Afterwards he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received and this we believe. Amen. So we have a group of three songs. If you're able, please stand, and you may, if you feel that like it, you need to sit at the end or towards the end. Please stand.
Shadows fall, you never change. Hallelujah. We are not alone.
Thank you, Lord, that you are a great Father, and Jesus, you are a great friend. Thank you for your friendship, that you're with us every day, every hour, and we thank you, Lord. Amen.
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 Please sit for our reading.
The reading is taken from Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 30. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant, and were afraid to ask him. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Short prayer. Father God, we know that nothing can be done without you. So Father, we pray you bless me and all of us now, that fruit might come from this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Suppose I pop round to your house in the next few days. I knock on the door. Presumably you'd invite me in. I think most of you would. We're sitting there. You make me a cup of tea, or a cup of fruit tea, actually, or a cup of coffee. And we chat for a while. And then you say, "Well, have you come for a particular purpose this morning or this afternoon, Paul?" And I say, "Well, I've come to let you know I'm going to die soon." How would you respond? Would you be concerned about how this event is going to affect you? Or would you be concerned for me? Well, if you're in the first category, I want to suggest you're in the best of company. Because Jesus tells his disciples he's going to die, doesn't he? And what a response we get. He tells them he's going to be delivered into the hands of men, that he will be killed, and that 3 days later, he's going to rise. So what do they talk about? Or rather, what do they argue about? About who is the greatest? Couldn't make it up, could you? Who is the greatest? Now, I don't know how all this evolved, but I'm going to suggest that they fully understand what's going to happen, but they've got a sense that Jesus is leaving the scene. There's a vacancy. There's a vacancy at the top for the top man, and there's a few people who want to replace him. That's why I think they're arguing about who the greatest is. It's time for a bit of teaching. Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. This teaching is in sharp contrast to how we behave, isn't it? When you look at the world around us, who gets to the top of an organization by being the servant of all? But for Jesus, that's the way. It's not by asserting yourself or walking over other people or out-manipulating, out-playing other people or through privilege. It's through service and humility. That's not how we work, is it? I want to suggest, I'm not sure it's how the church works, but at least some of the time. Jesus says that true greatness comes through service of others. Who was the very last and the servant of all when he washed the disciples' feet? Who was the very last and servant of all when he hung on that cross? Jesus Christ. Who we now recognize, well, I hope we recognize, is first in all things. Paul says this in Colossians, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." He is first in all things. One commentator said this: "The spirit of service is the passport to eminence in the kingdom of God. For it is the spirit of the master who himself became the servant of all." To illustrate this point, Jesus takes a child. Now, a child back then had no status, no rights, they had nothing. They were not regarded high in society. But then he says, taking the child, "Whoever welcomes one little child such as this welcomes me." There are people who come to this church, maybe children, who have no status, who have little to attract themselves up for, you know what I mean, who don't stand out in any way at all. There are many in our society who would ignore such people. But by welcoming such people, we welcome Jesus Christ. I think we're okay at doing this. But I think Jesus is suggesting that if we want to be great, that we need to have a care for people. At the heart of this is service, caring for insignificant people. No one's insignificant, I know that, but you know what I mean, don't you? And I think at times, I think of spouses who care for their partners. I think of Mary Russ, for example, how she cares for Ted with dementia. I think of my mum, who's come to visit me for the first time in 3 years because of caring for Peter with dementia. I think of mums, dads who care for children, who give their all for them. And then Jesus concludes with these words: "Whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." Scripture is clear that Jesus was sent by the Father. Scripture is also clear that we can't separate the Father and the Son, isn't it? I'm not going to focus on this today, but it's here, so I'm going to say it briefly. In our pluralistic society, there are many who would say you can. In fact, I believe there are many in the church who would say you can. But you can't, because it says so in Scripture, here and in loads of places. He who has Jesus Christ has the Father and salvation. The person who does not have Jesus Christ does not have the Father and does not have salvation. So when we welcome insignificant people, we welcome the Son, we welcome the Father. We honour God. So how are we doing as a church? Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I am very, very glad we don't have foot washing. I mean, the thought of one of you washing my feet, or vice versa, does not thrill me at all. Sorry, Lord. But it's a different culture, isn't it? So I was trying to think about what our equivalent is. What's our equivalent? And I think cleaning the church is probably our equivalent. And that is a service to all, isn't it, in this beautiful building, those who do. So thank you to all of you who do clean the church, those of you who do make refreshments. Jude asked me to add something in this one. Those who do the welcoming, because we've got no one to welcome. So if you'd like to join the welcoming team, please let me know. But on a serious note, none of us are above cleaning this church. And if we think we are, we're not ready for anything else, are we? If Jesus was here, I'd be saying to him, can I have a fruit tea, please? You know, he would be cleaning the church, wouldn't he? So I'm going to finish by saying a few words about humility. I think we've all got a sense of what humility means, but I think it's actually really hard to define. So over coffee, maybe share your ideas. But these are some of mine, interlaced with some great theologians. Oh, tell me which are mine and which are the great theologians after the service. The person who recognizes their need of Christ. The person who recognizes they can achieve nothing without Jesus Christ. Someone put it like this: complete resignation to our unconditional dependence on God. In one sense, I think all Christians have a degree of humility, don't we? It's in varying amounts, but we've all come to depend on Jesus Christ, haven't we, for our salvation. And many of us for our day-to-day living. But one of the challenges I want to make today is, couldn't we all do a bit better at depending on Jesus Christ to live well? Living out of the Holy Spirit. Any other way leads to pride, doesn't it? And we know where that goes. To have, this is another one, to have not a high opinion of oneself or a low opinion of oneself, but a righteous opinion of oneself. Someone else put it slightly better than me. Humility has been seen as an aspect of truthfulness, neither exaggerating nor denigrating the truth of what one is. I believe humble people are able to love themselves and love others. I believe humble people are teachable. I believe humble people serve, but are also happy to be served. Humility is the way of Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Jesus is first because he was the very last and the servant of all. Are we not blessed to know such a man as our God? All praise, all honour, and glory be to Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're going to worship our Lord Jesus Christ.
So an offering will be taken during this service, this song. So please stand. No one but you, Lord.
Yeah.
Please be seated as we pray for the offertory. Heavenly Father, we offer the gifts in the bowl and those made through the bank. May they be used to bring your kingdom and the good news of Jesus here in Water Orton and the surrounding areas. We acknowledge that all we have comes from you. May you receive these gifts with gratitude for your goodness and our dedication to your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And now we have our prayers.
Let's turn to prayer. I might leave a few pauses for your own thoughts. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his teaching. His teaching on the importance of service and humility. We're not there yet, Lord. I'm not there. Lord, help us to become more like Christ, who being God, humbled himself to death, even death on a cross. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we thank you for the joy we know in Jesus Christ, for the salvation that belongs to us through Jesus Christ. Lord, we know many who are far off. We pray, Lord, that you would bless them with the truth, that they would come to put their hope in Jesus Christ. In this time of silence, I invite you to just say out loud the first name of a person on your heart. Doug. Father, for all the people we've said out loud, all the people we've thought about, we know that you love them. We know that you created them in your image, that you died for them. Lord, would you breathe life into them this day? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we lift up the situation in the Middle East. And we think of Israel surrounded by adversaries on every border. We pray that your will be done. And we pray that terrorist organizations would be swept away for the sake of innocent people, wherever they live, in Gaza, Israel, Lebanon. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we lift up all those on the prayer board, all those who are struggling this day. May they know your blessing, your presence, your healing power. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. After the service, if you'd like more prayer, There'll be two people waiting over here for you. We're now going to celebrate Holy Communion, and we've got wine with alcohol and no alcohol in it. It tends to be the darker wine without alcohol. Does anybody want a gluten-free wafer? Okay. So my assistants would come forward, please. All are welcome at this table. All who love the Lord Jesus Christ and have repented of their sins. All who are looking to live a life in obedience to Jesus Christ. Father God, we do thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he gave us ransom for all people everywhere. We recognise that he is the only mediator between us and God. And Father, we thank you for the gift of faith. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation we know, which is pure grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that at his resurrection he achieved such a great victory over sin, over death, over Satan. And we thank you now, Lord, that you pour out your Holy Spirit upon the church, upon the true church. And we praise you, Father, that on the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup and gave thanks. And he said this, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." So we thank you, Lord, for all you have done. We thank you that you chose the way of the cross so that the judgment which was going to fall on us fell on Jesus instead. We pray when you return, we'd be found ready. And we pray that you bless this bread and wine through the Holy Spirit. And so let's pray as we have been taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So for anybody on Zoom, the body of Christ keep you in eternal life. The blood of Christ keep you in eternal life.
Thank you.
Let's stand for our last song this morning. Great One Who Breaks the Power of Sin and Darkness. Let's go. Standing for the blessing. Heavenly Father, fill us with your wisdom and power and your compassion for others. May you bless us with your never-ending love. Lord, please help us to serve you in all we do. Help us to honor you both today and every day this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please join us for a coffee, tea next door. And just as you go out the door, please mind it's quite slippy outside. Thank you.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. You've done for me.